It's Tuesday, June 24th, and with your news at 7 a.m, I am Leonard Witbian. Passenger vehicle sales saw a sharp 31.2% month-on-month decline in May, though annual figures showed a slight 0.22% uptick. Similar Storm's Almandro Janssen attributes the monthly drop to April's unusually high sales, while noting continued buyer interest driven by favorable credit conditions and demand for smaller SUVs and hatchbacks.
We've seen that there's an increased market share when it comes to Chinese brands such as Tour, Omida, and Jaku, taking up almost close to 12% of the market share. This growth has been underpinned by the competitive pricing that these vehicles give you. But looking ahead, the Bank of Namibia has put in a recommendation for commercial banks to narrow the interest rate spread between the repo rate and the prime rate lending rates, which could have a meaningful impact. If implemented, it could reduce borrowing costs, strengthening monetary policy transition, and potentially stimulating vehicle finance activities.
The second ClimeSA Forum is underway in Windhoek under the theme Accelerating Access to Climate and Weather Services for Resilient African Economies and Communities. The gathering aims to showcase the impact of ClimeSA programs on climate policy, risk management and informed decision-making across the continent. Moses Vilakati is the Commissioner for Agriculture, Rural Development, the Blue Economy and Environmental Sustainability at the African Union Commission.
Africa has never been more vulnerable to the impacts of extreme weather and climate change than at present. According to the sixth assessment of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, Africa's key development sectors are already experiencing widespread climate-induced losses, damages, and impacts, which include biodiversity loss, water shortages, reduced food production, loss of lives, and reduced economic growth.
Healthcare providers are raising the alarm as a growing number of citizens default on their antiretroviral treatment due to the closure of community clinics and dwindling donor funding. Edward Shivute, the project manager at the Walvis Bay Corridor Group, says nearly 30% of ART clients have not been traced since services shut down, putting lives at risk.
But the good news in all of this is that our government is still able to absorb all the patients that used to get their medication from clinics that have stopped operations. And this is obviously the commitment also that we have received from government, that we are now able to transfer those clients into the government health facilities.
South Africa may soon experience sharp fuel price increases as geopolitical tensions in the Middle East escalate. Global oil prices have risen following Israel's attacks on Iran and U.S. bombings targeting Iranian nuclear facilities. Experts at oilprice.com caution that if Iran responds by shutting down the vital Strait of Hormuz, prices could spike further. Although South Africa mainly sources its oil from Nigeria and Saudi Arabia, a reduced global supply, a weakening rand, and strained supply chains are expected to broadly affect fuel costs. Internationally, Iran has fired missiles at a U.S. military base in Qatar in retaliation for the Trump administration targeting three nuclear facilities over the past weekend. And as our correspondent Nick Harper reports from Washington, Qatar says it was able to intercept the missiles.
Iran reportedly gave the U.S. a heads up in advance of the attacks and is signaling that this was a like-for-like response, limited in scope, in the hope that the U.S. will not retaliate. However, Donald Trump had warned that any strikes by Iran against U.S. service personnel would be met with force far greater than the strikes against the nuclear facilities on Saturday. I'm Nick Harper in Washington.
Find all these stories and so much more on our website, futuremedianews.com.na. Future Media News, independent, accurate, and on time.